Matthew, the 24th chapter. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 42nd verse. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. For a title to the text that we have read to you, God being our helper, we'd like to preach on 5 minutes till midnight. 5 minutes till midnight. Notice again before we start, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. There's something very definite going to happen. As sure as we are congregated here tonight, there's something in the future that's going to happen. You will not stop it by unbelief. You will not stop it by procrastinating. You will not stop it by wishing that it won't happen. You will not stop it by trying to put it to another generation. The Bible said, it shall come to pass. Amen. What time is it? Does anybody know? How much time we got left before this happens? Anyone know? Has anybody given any thought about checking to see what time it is? Has anybody asked God what time it was? Oh yes, this is Memorial Day. It's just almost 8:05. But that's what time you are living in. But what time is it by God's time? What time is it by the clock of heaven? What time is it in God's calendar? Is this the days that were prophesied of? Are these the days that Jesus was speaking of? When nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and you'll hear of wars, and there will be wars and rumors of wars? Is this the day when men will run to and fro? Is this the day when knowledge shall increase? And is this the day that the Lord has spoke of? Or is there another day to come? Jesus said when these things begin to come to pass that they were only the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning. Then he goes on and say, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is that happening? Is the love of many waxing cold? In love with you today, out of love with you tomorrow. It's a waning love. No longer the love for our neighbor. No longer the love for our nation. No longer the love of patriotism. No longer the love of family. No longer the love for home or church. Love is waning. Love is waxing cold. Why? Because Jesus said that these things would happen because iniquity, lawlessness, would abound. Then he goes on and says that these things must come to pass. The time that we're talking of is time laid in the clock of God. Late. It's late. Later than a lot of us think. It's so late that Jesus said that the days of Noah, when you see the days of Noah and how they were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When you see these days, you'll know the Son of Man is coming. Well, what was Noah's days? How were Noah's days? Noah's days were occupied with the thoughts of saving his family. He had been informed of God that everything around him had been corrupted by men, and that God couldn't find any that hadn't corrupted his ways in the earth. That the earth was filled with violence 24 hours a day. Violence. That the imaginations of men were on evil continually. Their thoughts were always evil. This was the surrounding of Noah. These were the things that impressed Noah to obey God. And he built him an ark. God didn't build it for him. He built him an ark. Noah's day started with the realization that there was only so much time left. Just enough time to build the ark. Not enough time to build other things. Just enough time to build the ark. That's what the days of Noah were. When God spoke to him, he had just enough time left to finish the ark. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, know you've got just enough time to get ready. Just enough time to get ready. For as was in the days of Noah, they were eating. Yes, and drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, the same thing occurred day in and day out. As Noah was busily occupying himself, building an ark for the saving of his house, the world went right on, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Right on. Same routine. The pace grew faster. The tenseness grew more real. But only Noah knew that time was running out. Now there's one or two spirits that's going to captivate our minds. There's one of these two spirits that's going to move upon us. There's one of these two that's going to direct and guide our direction towards eternity. One or two of these spirits are going to guide you in your thoughts. One is going to say
There's nothing to it. There's a lot of time before the Lord comes. Eat, drink, and be merry. Build, tear down, build bigger. And the other one's going to whisper to your heart, you've just got enough time to get ready. Just enough time to get ready. Be occupied in the work of the Lord. There's just enough time to be ready. Amen. Noah lived in this day. He lived with these thoughts. He lived with these people. He was a part of their society until the Bible said he found grace in the sight of the Lord. And God spoke to him and led him on the inside of what he's doing. Noah got some insight on the clock of God. He's seen God's calendar of the coming events. He's seen the clock of God and knew that as sure as God told him to build the ark, as soon as it was done, God was going to destroy men off of the face of the earth. Have you seen any insight of these last days? Amen. Has your heart spoke to you lately and said there's just enough time left to get ready? By our church attendance, it would be hard to convince me that we've got insight that we're living in the last days. We come as we will and go as we will, and if we miss service, it don't mean the snap of our finger. But every time we miss, we're closer to the coming of the Lord. You're awful quiet. Noah looked at his surroundings and he heard the voice of God and moved with fear to the preparing of the ark. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. The Bible says something about that. It says if we do in this last days all that is commanded us, for us to count ourselves as an unprofitable servant. If we do all that's commanded us, we are still to count ourselves as unprofitable. Why? Because we are only paying that which is due, that which should be done. And we know as well as anybody that we should pray, we should fast, we should read the Bible, we should attend faithfully our church. We know all these things, and yet we will let them lie dormant in our life because there is two spirits bidding for our soul. One that will say there's a tomorrow. There's still time. There's plenty of time. And then there's the other spirit of the Lord that says, you've just got enough time to be ready. Amen. I'm ready today, but I won't be ready tomorrow. I'm ready right now, but I'm not right now ready for tomorrow. For I don't know what will be on the tomorrow, except the warning from the Lord that it'll be evil with the sufficiency of that day. It'll be all that I can do to get through today and live this day and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Outside the ark, there was continual activity. People coming and going. No doubt when they first started building the boat, it was a real attraction. People gathered around. Maybe some folks out of work sought employment with Noah. But he began to tell them and preach to them and witness to them. And soon it dropped off till there was no one but Noah and his sons. But every time they fashioned a beam or hewed a log, it took minutes off of the schedule of God. They had the hull of the ship made. They moved on the inside and made to three compartments. Then they enclosed the outside. And they put the one window in the top. And they fixed it. And then they began to pitch it on the inside and on the out. Brother and sister, every day of working that went by was a day less that that civilization had. Oh, Noah, you're about done with your ark. Well, I'll come by tomorrow and check on you. I think I'll go eat and drink a while. Amen. He come back and said, all right, well, that's an old dark-looking casket, what it looked like to me. I don't see nothing. You ought to have painted another color. You'd have got more people interested. It was just an old, dark-looking boat. No glory. Nothing attraction about it. No flashing neon lights. No sign. Nothing. But just a man hurrying back and forth, measuring and hewing and cutting and working. And they didn't know it, but every day that that man worked took a day out of their life. And every time we open this doors to this church, every time we come around this altar and pray, we're taking a day away from the world, and we're a day closer to the coming of the Son of God. And it's nearer now than when we first started praying. We've got just enough time left to get ready. The strange thing about this is the folks going by never caught on, even with the preaching. They never did grasp it. It was a generation without understanding. It was a generation without revelation. It was a generation without knowledge. It was a generation that hadn't heard the voice of God. It was a generation, a faithless generation, if you will. Isn't it strange that Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith in the earth? There was no faith among those, just Noah and his family. The Bible says in the 39th verse, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Amen. Which should help me preach. They didn't know it. They didn't understand it. They didn't see it. It was a mystery to them. They couldn't comprehend it, that God would destroy the earth with water. They had already seen, no doubt, the ocean and knew that there wasn't enough water in the ocean to overflood the land, or it would have already happened. And probably they might have, amen, went through some other catastrophes and knew that the earth wasn't going to be destroyed easily. But God said, it will rain, and the fountains of the deep shall break loose, and the water shall rise 18 cubits above the highest peak, and all flesh shall be destroyed, whose breath is in their nostrils. Amen. And every day that Noah worked took away a day of opportunity for them. And when he had completed, the Lord said, now bring the animals in two by two, seven by seven. Bring them in, put them in their place. Yet 7 days, and I will destroy the earth. 7 days till destruction. Do you think that they had revival? No. Do you think that they cared? No. Noah, no doubt, would have sent messages out and told them, neighbor, 7 days God has told me, you've got to get onto this ark. You've got 7 days. Ha, ha, ha. You old foggy preacher, you. I don't need you telling me how to live. And as for you and your stinking menagerie, you just stay in there till you rot. 6 days. You've got 6 days left. Ha, I don't believe it. I don't believe it, Noah. You can keep your notes. You can keep your warnings. You can keep your preaching to yourself. I'm not interested. 5 days. Come on in. No, no, no. I've got a party I've got to go to today. I've got a wedding. There's a wedding celebration, and they're going to last all weekend. We're going to drink, and we're going to dance, and we're going to have revelry, and we're going to have a time, and I can't have any fun on your old black ark. You live it too straight. You don't believe in any of this, do you, Noah? No, but I know you've got 5 days left. In the breaking of the morning, the message came from the ark. 4 days. 4 days left. Please come in. You're running out of time. 4 days left. Ha! We just dug us a new barbecue pit. And we just killed a big old fatted calf, and we're going to eat. And we're going to have fun. And they passed their days eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they kept right on, not paying any heed to the one little old preacher who had heard the voice of God and seen the clock of God. And for the last time, the message came from the ark. 3 days, neighbor. 3 days. That's all that's left. That's all there is standing between you and the flood. Come in, please. If you don't want to save yourself, put your children in the ark. Bring your children to church. Let me preach to your children. Let your children come in. No, we're going to go to the amusement park today. And tomorrow, we're going to go over to the boat. And tomorrow, we're going to do this. And tomorrow, we're going to do that. A generation that lives into tomorrow is never concerned for today. They eat one meal with the thoughts of what are we going to have next. They go through this day with the thought of what are we going to do tomorrow. And Noah said, you've got 2 days. Just two. 2 days. Please come in. The storms are gathering. The world will surely perish. And I've told you, God has spoken to me. You fanatic. Look, there ain't no difference in the sky. You said seven. You said you had 7 days. But you've been a preaching this a long time while you built. Now what do you think I should believe you? Look, 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 you've been there 5 days. Ain't you tired? Come on out. That's too long for you to stay in there. Come on out here. No. The Lord told me to tell you this morning, you have 1 day. You have 24 hours. Just 1 day. 24 hours. 23. Can you see him going to the restaurant? 22. Can you see him hurrying to the wedding? Can you see the farmer with his plow going to his field? Can you see the merchant man weighing out on his balances? 20, 19, 18, 17. And Noah, come in. You've only got a day, 12 hours left. 12. I'm going to go home tonight and get a good night's sleep. No, I ain't worried about you, and I ain't worried about the coming of the Lord. I ain't worried about what's going to happen. I don't believe in that nonsense. And they went to sleep and knew not, and knew not, and knew not. And quietly the hands of God turn on his clock. Quietly. He never interferes with man as his hand sweeps around. Quietly, God works. And they got down to an hour. And Noah, no doubt, went to the brink of the window and screamed, within an hour, judgment and destruction's coming! Come in! 59, 58, 30, 15, 10, 5. And as Noah and his family watched, the gangplank came up with an invisible hand and slammed shut and shut them in and shut the world out. And then as the old boat set on dry ground, there become a blackness across the heavens, and the lightning begin to flash, and the thunder begin to roll, and the earth begin to rock, and the fountains of the deep begin to break, and water started gushing up from the fountains, and it started pouring down from above, and all of a sudden a man with his child runs and gets to the ark and says, Noah, open the door, and I'll let my child come in. And family after family make the trek to the ark and says, Noah, now I believe. I know you're right. There's never been a storm like this. There's never been chaos like this. You can sense it. It's not going to stop in an hour. It's rain now a day. It's rain 2 days. It's rain 3 days. And there's a flood on its way. Oh, but brother, the door won't be left. till the flood took them all away. What time is it? Where's your children? Where's your husband? Where's your wife? What time is it? How is it with your children? What time is it? Have we got time to let them go on without warning them? Have we got time not to pray? Have we got time to fool around? Have we got time just to go on? What time is it? Has anybody seen the clock of God? Jesus said, you'll surely know that this is the generation that'll not pass away when you see the fig tree and it bud and put forth leaves. The 11th hour was when Israel became a Zionist movement at the stopping of the First World War, 11th day, 11th month, 11th hour. God wrote it plain. You're in the 11th hour. In 1948, God put surely on the clock, it's now later than you've ever been. You're nearer now than you've ever been. But then, that's not enough to bring Israel back and make it a nation and cause it to bloom. But he moves the giant of the north and arouses it up and makes it one of the most fierce, one of the most dominating nations that's ever been on the face of the earth. And it marches south. And now stands ready to spring. But that's not all. He lets apostasy sweep our churches like we've never had before. He lets preachers preach that ought not to even have the right to name His name. And He gives them favor with the people. And they are led away like some Pied Piper. And they march, and they march to the piper's tune. They, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch, therefore. Watch. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. Watch. Therefore, be ye also ready. Listen to what Luke said. And take heed to yourselves. Oh, no, not. You take heed to yourself.
Yes, message.
Sister Sutherland, don't take heed to me. Take heed to yourself. If I stumble, go on, take heed to yourself. If you stumble, I'm going to take heed to myself. If you quit living holiness, I'm going to take heed to myself. If you quit coming to church, I'm going to take heed to myself. If my own people rise up and tell me, I don't believe in you no more, I'm going to take heed to myself. The Bible said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeitingness and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. That same Spirit is still here. That same Spirit that says, live it up.
Yes.
Drink. Eat.
Yes.
Or worry about the cares of life. Amen. I've not got enough laid up for retirement. I've got to get something else. I've got to get something going. I've got to hurry. I've got to get something fixed. I'm going to retire pretty soon. And I want to live on Easy Street. And the cares of this life and the cares for this life get a hold of us like a snare and drag us down, and we become prayerless, and we don't watch the horizon, and we don't believe in the coming of the Lord. We're more convinced that retirement will get to us before Jesus will get to us. We're more convinced that we'll need money than we will be ready for the coming of the Lord. We're we're more convinced that we need a new car or need a new toy than we are to be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. Shall you escape? No, this snare is set for the whole earth. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's set for the whole earth. Listen to what Paul said. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, that they might be saved. They won't hold it. They won't have the love of the truth. Amen. So the Bible said in the 11th verse of the second chapter of the second book of Thessalonians, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Who's going to send them a strong delusion? God will give them up to their own ways. And God will stop warning them. And God will stop dealing with them. And God will stop reproving them. And God will move the roadblocks out of their way. And God will say, you want the world? Go to it, young man. You want the world? Go to it, young woman. You want this? Go to it. And to those that are sleepy and sleeping, amen, He'll say, sleep on. Sleep on. He'll rock them to sleep with a conformity. He'll put the world to sleep with a strong delusion, even as it was in the days of Lot, when he struck the whole city with blindness, that they went about groping for the door and couldn't find it. There'll be people with religious intentions that'll never get anywhere, because God's going to strike this world blind. He's going to send them a strong delusion, and they're going to believe a lie and be damned. God will do it. Who's He going to do it to? To those that sit on Pentecostal pews who just don't care. Amen. He's going to give it to those who sit around and don't care for anybody but, oh, number one. Yeah, you're a good candidate for it if you don't care. Amen. What a time. 5 minutes to midnight. What a time to be a fussing and a fighting. 5 minutes to midnight. What a time to pick a quarrel. What a time to knock the chip off of the other man's shoulder. 5 minutes till midnight. And the Lord could come at any time. What a time to let envy or strife or bitterness fill your heart. What a time. But they shall go on. And they'll not know till the day that the Lord comes. They didn't know in Noah's day till the flood took them away. And can I tell you this? The days of Sodom were no different. Lot received information from two heavenly visitors and told him, tomorrow the Lord shall rain fire and brimstone upon this city. Flee to the mountain and flee for your life. Lot was the only one in the city that had the information. And he went out in the streets to warn them. Warn his sons-in-laws and his daughters. He went with a message. God has told me. In the morning the city shall be destroyed, and the cities of the plain shall be burnt with fire and brimstone. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, where'd you get that? What have you been eating? Where you been? You've lived here all your life. In fact,
You're the one, Dad, that brought us to Sodom. I remember, Daddy, when we lived in a tent, when we prayed with Uncle Abraham and we believed in Abraham's God, and you taught us how to sacrifice. But, Daddy, we moved here because you liked the way that this place looked. Amen. We're here because you brought us. Now you're telling us that we got to get out of here. What are you waiting so long for? How come you've not already gone if you think it's going to happen? Why don't you get out of here? Amen. Help me preach. There'll be a day when your children will rise up and they may not believe you. Amen. Brother Joe, it's a horrible thing to have your children not to believe you. To warn them of the coming of the Lord and they say, ah. How'd that spirit ever get a hold of them? How'd that evil heart of unbelief ever get in that bosom of those children that we rocked on Pentecostal pews and we've cried over and we've laid on the altar and we've taught right and we've brought to church and we've trained them right and we've lived this way before? How did that evil heart of unbelief get there? We've let them linger too long in Sodom without warning them. Lot knew that God didn't appreciate those kind of people. Why, it vexed his righteous soul. If it vexed him, heaven knows that it vexed God. If something so awful that it vexes a man, it's already vexed God. And the Bible said that the men of Sodom were exceeding sinners before God. And that was when Lot was moving that way. Now Lot has stayed long enough that his soul is vexed every day by their ungodly ways. But he stayed too long, and his children's not going to believe him. And the angels tell him, it's 5 minutes to midnight, Lot. Go warn them. Go take this message to them. I wonder tonight if you got it from here and you hurried to your nearest loved one. Would they believe you for the way you've been living? Would they believe your message for the way that you've been conducting yourself? Would they believe your message? Do they fear God enough? Oh, brother and sister, you may say, Brother Sutherland, you're picking on me. No, I'm not. I'm a preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm a telling you, we're a living 5 minutes to midnight. And if we're ever going to take a message, a believing message, a message that's going to do any good, we've got to back that message up with a life that shows them we're ready to go now. Hallelujah. 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes to midnight. He could come at any time. Does it interest you? He could come at any time. Does it move you any? Oh, apparently not. Some say that's just another sermon, just another sermon, just another sermon, just some more preaching. Ah, yes. When things like this don't begin to disturb your heart, you'd better check your spirit. When the cry of the last day doesn't get to you and you can't see what's going on around you, you'd better check your spirit. You'd better check and see what's keeping you. Amen. Why are you tarrying? Amen. Amen. How many feel like these are the last days? Will you raise your hands? You really believe it? You believe Jesus could come at any time? Do you really believe that Jesus could come at any time? That these are the last days? Then, brother, where are the loud cryings of moms and dads around this altar? Where are the tears that should be staining it? Where is the conviction, and man, that would drive us to prayer and would get us out and after our lost children, that would ask God to wake us up and show us the time clock, give us a message that we could pack it to our children? No, we believe it up here, but it's not slid down to where it comes. In the heart, the issues of life are settled. Amen. From the heart proceeds the thoughts that motivate us. You can believe it with your mind and it not move your heart, but if it ever sinks into your heart that this is the last days, these are the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it will move us to pray, to seek the face of God, that God will be merciful to our children. God. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Paul's speaking this of our generation, and they shall not escape. And they shall not escape. We've seen an article in our paper not too long ago where one of the troopers was leading a bunch of Boy Scouts in a cave exploration. And he started down this little narrow passage. And he started down, and a rock broke loose behind him and fell between him and the wall. When he tried to pull back, it wedged him tight. And he couldn't go forward or backward. No escape. They dug into the cave. And they found what was the obstacle. Just that loose piece of rock that fell and wedged him tight. There'll be a day when you'll not go forward or backward. It'll be settled. There'll be a day when you'll not change. You'll be what you are. There'll be a day when you'll be caught with what's going through your mind and what's in your heart. God will wedge you tight right in your position. And you'll answer to God. You shall not escape. Shall not. Impossible. No escape. No turning around. Well, let's turn around and run back to yesterday. You can't do it. I'll give you everything that I possess. If you can go and just take us back to where I started this sermon. I can go back and start it over. But can you take me back to where just a few minutes ago I started? No. It's in eternity. You see, some men send their sins on before them, and others, their sins follow. The only secure place for my yesterdays is in God's mercy. For they shall follow me and wedge me, and I will not escape them. They shall catch me and overtake me. Amen. Amen. Can you afford to stay like you are? Can you afford to live like you're living? Can you afford to go on at the breakneck speed that you're going and keep on avoiding prayer and keep on avoiding church and keep on avoiding right and keep going though you know it's wrong? Can you continue on like you're a continuing, knowing you're going into the coming of the Lord and that you may be alive at His coming? What a horrible thing it will be. For a man to roll over in bed and touch a warm place where his wife was. Two shall be in bed. One shall be taken. The other one left. What a horror will fill the hearts of all when they reach for that security and it's gone. And they realize that they shall not escape. Listen to me. I'm a preaching. Two shall be in the field. And all of a sudden he steps around the corner of a building. And you wait for him to come back. And there's no coming back. You finally realize they're gone. And I'm left. And I shall not escape. No, dig down the deepest hole that you want to go. Go down into the deepest cave. Make your dwellings in the rocks. The Bible said, that they shall flee to try to escape His face, but not be able to. No place to run. Have you got time for some of this silliness? Have you got time for it? Oh yeah, I understand you're in debt. You've got to really work in order to make ends meet. But what about just coming down off of your high horse and coming down to where you can live and serve God? Amen, Brother Benny. We're going at a breakneck speed. Brother Joe can tell you, he sits here today within striking distance of retirement, only to be disappointed with life because man doesn't care. You'll give your health and give your life to an employer that may drop you and leave you nothing. But God won't. Amen. I'm telling it right in a sister day. They didn't care how old Oscar was when they told him, there's no more work for you. They didn't care how old you was or what your plans was for the future, did they? No, they just told you this is all. Is that right, brother? Amen. They didn't care if they turned you out. No, the world doesn't care. It's so uncertain. But there's a God in heaven that cares, and that's why I'm preaching to you. It's later than you think, and you'd better get your eyes off of the employment of the world and off of what the world can offer you and get back on track with God. For the only thing that's lasting is God and heaven and family. Woo! There's not a thing that I'll take to heaven with me. I'll leave everything I possess behind. But there's something God has given me that I can take, Sister Richmond. I can take my boy if I can win him to Jesus Christ. I can take my little girl if I win them to Jesus Christ. And we can get up there in heaven and the circle doesn't have to be broken. God gave them to me to raise in the fear of God. And I can, by the help of God, save my... hour. I can pray for them and preach to them and witness to them and tell them Jesus is coming. Be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. Behold, He stands at the door. He's ready to come. The Holy Ghost witnessed it. It's the truth written from the very pen of God. Men of old have desired to see it, and we're living in it. And the Bible said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. You'll not take no gold to heaven with you, no silver. You'll take no diamonds, rubies. You'll take no duplex or tri-level or bi-level or ranch. You'll take no log cabin. You'll take nothing with you. When you go, brother and sister, there's only one thing you can take, and that's your soul and the souls of them that live around you. Hallelujah. You can win them for Christ. You can warn them till they're ready to pray. You can be a witness. And I'm a preaching to you tonight that if you want to take something to heaven, you had better get a hold of the hand of your loved one. And you had better invite them to pray. And we had better go to prayer. For the Bible said, pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. Escape. If you knew this building was going to burn, would you sit around till the planks fell on top of your head? If you knew you was going to have a wreck because your brakes was going out, would you just get in your car and drive it anyway, though you know your brakes were bad? If you knew there was a steep hill in the curve that said 20 miles an hour, would you go 50 around that curve? No. But yet we'll see the handwriting of God on the wall, and we're ignoring it. Last year when I preached the camp meeting at New York, There's a little town up there that had a road to come straight down off of a mountain. And right at the bottom of it, it took a curve. They have posted at the top of that hill, any truck that comes over this hill shall be arrested and fined so many $1,000s. Absolutely prohibited that a truck will come over that hill. Why? One day a truck come over the hill, and he burned his brakes out before he got to the curb. And what such speed he had built up that he jumped the curb, went through a house, plowed through cars, and so many souls died in the fire and in the wreckage that they said, it's prohibited for any more trucks to come. You will take the bypass around this town. But yet, we know sin is prohibited of God. The soul that sinneth, it's going to die. God has outlawed sin. If you go on sinning, you're ignoring the signs of God. For the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. You won't toy with God. The fine will be your soul. You'll pay in full. With this much time left, can we afford to be prayerless? It's handsome boys you guys have got there. Them's handsome boys. Them's fine boys. But if you go back in the world, you'll take them with you. Oh, I feel the God of heaven. If we don't live good, Brother Joe, those boys are beautiful boys. Somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to love them. Somebody's got to help them. It's 5 minutes to midnight. Somebody's got to help somebody. Somebody's got to help somebody. Don't be the one that drags down and drags away. Don't be the prayerless one. Don't be the one that lays out of church. Don't be the one that's going to cause your family to be lost. Lot, if you hadn't moved to Sodom and hadn't got that mama's girls tied up with those Sodomites, mama might not have turned around in that one look. It would be hard for me to picture a mother who had bore children just to turn her back on them and walk away. I could see why she had turned. But remember, Lot, if you hadn't have done that, if you hadn't have done that, you might have had your wife. And you might have had your daughters. Our decisions affect our families. And it's 5 minutes to midnight. And I say if we're ever going to be affected, we'd better be affected tonight. And we'd better pray. And say, oh God, help me to have such a spirit around me that my husband knows that I fear you more than anything. Peter says that a woman can win her husband without the preaching. She can win him by her chaste conversation coupled with fear. You preach when you live right. You preach when you pray at home. You preach when you pick up your Bible. You preach when you get ready and go to church and leave him sitting. You preach, and you preach by the way you live. And eventually you'll convince them that you're serious. But if they say, honey, stay at home with me, and you sit down there beside them and you don't go to church, they're not believing your preaching. Amen, Brother Benny. Amen. What time is it? Tommy, you got in just in time. Don't go back out. Don't go back out. You might not have made it before, but you don't have that much time to go back. No, you don't have that much time. Don't go back, boy. Pray. Pray with your wife. It's two lovely boys you've got. Pray with her. Help her raise them in the fear of God. Bring them to church. Don't send them. Help them bear the load. Make sure that they're ready for the coming of the Lord. Minutes to midnight. What if you get what you want and you lose what you've got? It's 5 minutes to midnight. What if you catch that guy you're looking for and he drags you away from God? It's 5 minutes to midnight. Will you have enough time to get back in? Will you have enough time? Have you got enough time? What time is it? What time is it? Have you looked? In closing, I'll tell you what the scientists say. When they invented the atom bomb, the scientific news put on the front cover of their magazine a clock and showed the hands 5 minutes till midnight. Years went by and they quit making atomic bombs and they went to thermonuclear bombs with multiple warheads. And science changed its view and they moved a hand up to a minute to midnight. And they begin to say, Armageddon's the only thing that can happen to this world. Armageddon, Armageddon. The cry of the noted men was Armageddon. Armageddon's at hand. Do you know what a thermonuclear bomb will do? You can drop it on Dayton, Ohio, and there will be nothing but a hole in the ground for several miles in circumference. And what's left outside of the hole will be blown away and burned. Thermonuclear means it melts the very ground. One scientist say, drop it on New York and New York will slide into the ocean like a hot piece of butter on a hot griddle. Scientists say it's 1 minute till midnight. If science is so afraid that we're running out of time, why do we act like we've got all the time to play church, not care, not pack a burden, stay at home, don't care? But if it is 1 minute to midnight, you've only got time to clean your globes, trim your wick, and fill your vessel full of oil. For they that were ready went in, and he shut the door. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me pray. Father, I feel the Spirit of God. I can't do any more than what I've done, just preach this message. But you can. You said in the days of Noah, you would not always strive with man. Sometimes I feel like you're through striving with us. But then I feel like I feel tonight and I know that you're not. You're still dealing with hearts. You're still dealing with souls. You're still dealing with men and with women. You're still warning. You're still helping that they will realize the hour in which they live. Will you help them, Father? Will you help them? Oh, Spirit of God, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you and your saving grace, touch that heart. Those that are cold and indifferent, away from God. Listen, young people. Listen, don't be talking. Don't be talking. This is very important. Don't be talking. It's very important. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Let's reverence the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is a moving. If that soul can be touched tonight with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can be saved. Is your heart right with God? if we're living at 1 minute to midnight? Will you be saved when the trumpet sounds? Will you go when Jesus comes? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? How about it, young man? If Jesus comes right now, would you be saved? If not, the opportunity is yours to make peace with God before it's too late. Anyone else? You're cold. You're indifferent. You're not what you was a year ago. How about it? What if it is 1 minute to midnight?